Today's shiur is Masechet Babas with Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, V'ishas Imay. We learned in the Mishnah that when we speak about Yerusha, about inheriting estate, the estate of the mother is inherited by a son. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili. And as the Rishonim say, actually the Gemara has a twofold question. One question that the Gemara is going to be addressing is that how do we know indeed that a son is a Yairish? And the second question the Gemara is addressing is how do we know that the son precedes the daughter being a Yairish? Furthermore, the Rishonim say, what is the basis of the Gemara's question? We've been learning already for the last number of Dafim that the son is always the first Yairish. So why should a son not also be the first Yairish when we're speaking about the Yerusha of the mother? So one pshat that I saw that the Rishonim suggest is because the Gemara is assuming that just like the son is closest to the father, the daughter is closest to the mother, and perhaps when it comes to the Yerusha of the mother, the daughter should come first. What do I mean? We just learned at the end of the previous year, we learned at the previous shiur, Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha. Mishpachas Aim Enik Kruya Mishpacha. Only your paternal family is considered family, not your maternal family. And that's why the Gemara assumes that maybe when it comes to Yerusha of a mother, the son should not be the Yerush. That's one pshat. Another pshat really speaks to a very fundamental concept which we're going to be discussing in our coming shiurim. And that is the concept of the nachla, of the shear that someone has going out of the shevet that it belongs to. And the Torah teaches us that when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, and there are situations that we will discuss and have discussed, where a daughter yarshins from her mother, and now if the daughter, from her father, if a daughter yarshins her father, and now this woman will get remarried, will get married to someone from a different shevet, and her husband yarshins her, her son yarshins her, her husband and son are not necessarily from the same shevet as she is. And it will cause a situation that that portion that was originally by one shevet will end up by a different shevet. That's why women in such circumstances we're only supposed to marry people from their own shevet. And that's why our Gemara is assuming, since when it comes to yarshining a mother, there's going to be this concern that by the son yarshining his mother, the chelik of one shevet will end up by another shevet. Maybe the rules are different. So the Gemara wants to know anonymously, for we don't know that a son yarshins a mother, yashins from his mother, and he comes first. Says the mother, Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa says, the Kobas Yereshes Nachla Matis Bnei Yisrael. So the Pasuk used the words Matois Loshin Rabbim. Heich Bas Yereshes Shnei Matis. How could a daughter have shear from two different Shvatim? El Zu Shavir Meshevet Echad. It's referring to a girl who was born to parents that her father's from one shevet, ve'ima m'shevet acher, and her mother's from a different shevet, umesu, and they passed away, v'yosh the son, and she is their yosh. So before we go further, there's an obvious question. I just said that if a girl is the yosh of her mother, if the girl is the yosh of her parents, she should not, if a woman has a shear, a Yerusha, a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael, she's supposed to only marry a husband from the same Shevet. So ask the Rishonim, what's the case that we just said our Brisa is speaking to? The Brisa says it, that the mother's from one Shevet, the father's from another Shevet, and now they pass away, their daughter will be their Yerush. How could it be that the mother didn't marry somebody from a different shevet? Didn't I say that if a woman has a Yerusha, she has to marry only someone from her own Shevet? So how do we have a circumstance that's described in our Braisa that the mother's from one Shevet, the father's from another Shevet? Explain to Rishonim that the case is as follows. This woman was born to parents. Everybody's born to parents. This woman was born to parents. And when she was of marriageable age, she had brothers. And therefore, since she had brothers, as we've been learning, the brothers are the Yarshim, not her. So the concern that we should say that she should only marry somebody from her own Shevet doesn't exist. Because she's not going to Yarshin her father anyway. She's not going to Yarshin her parents anyway. She has brothers. Then, she went and married somebody from a different Shevet. And her brothers died. Not only did her brothers died without children. So now she's the Yarish. She didn't do anything wrong by getting married to somebody from a different Shevet. Because when she got married, she wasn't supposed to be a Yairish. But now that is the circumstance that the Brice is speaking to. And the Achronim take it a step further. Chazal did not see the need to make a gzeira that a woman who at the time that she's getting married is not really supposed to be a Yairish should still only marry somebody from the same Shevet with the concern that maybe she will end up being the Yoreshes. It's not something the Chazal were concerned about, but this is what happened. So now she has a daughter, and her daughter will be her Yoresh, her father's Yoresh, and her mother's Yoresh. Continues the Braisa. Veinli Alabas. But this pasuk speaks about when the parents pass away, and the daughter being their Yoresh. Ben Minayin. How do we know that the same din applies to their son? Says the Braisa, Amit Kavachayim. We make the following Kavachayim. A girl, when it comes to the father's estate, as we have been learning in our previous shurim, certainly the son comes first in the line of succession. Here we see, when it comes to speaking about our mother's estate, she is considered a successor, ben. So certainly a son, that has the strength, that he's the first in the line of succession when it comes to inheriting from the father, and it didn't sheep a kaich b'nechseim. He should have also the ability to inherit from his mother. And now we take this one step further. Malahalon, just like when it comes to the Yerusha of the father, ben kaidon labas, the son not only is a Yerush, but as I just said, the son comes before the daughter, if their sons, the daughters aren't Yarshim, Afkan, so too, when it comes to the mother, Ben Koidim Labas. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer Yosi, Amru Mishur Rabbi Zechariah Ben Akatzav, they quote Rabbi Zechariah Ben Akatzav saying, that Echra Ben Vachra Bas Shavim. That when it comes to the state of the mother, the sons and daughters are equal, they share in the Yerusha. Echra ben v'echra bas shovim b'nechseyam. My Tama. Why? What is the basis for Zechariah ben Akatzav's limud? Says the Gemara, Dai love min adin liyuskanidin. We have a klal when it comes to kavachomers. That if I'm learning one subject from another subject, so if the entire basis of applying the din to the subject that I'm learning, that I want to apply this din to, comes from the other subject, it can't be any more stricter or different than the original source. So if we're learning, if our Braisa taught us, that how do we know that a son, Yarshins Bechlal, at all, his mother's, from his mother's estate, because we learn it from the daughter's ability to Yarshin, that's what the Torah speaks about explicitly, then the son, says Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, can't be any stronger than the daughter. So we can't end up with a situation that the son comes to Yarshin before the daughter can. Because then it will turn out that the entire ability for the son to Yarshin, how do we know? Because we're learning it from the daughter, so how could he be stronger than the daughter? And that's why Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav says they're equal. So the Gemara says, V'tanakama, loy darish dayu, can we suggest that the Tanakhama doesn't follow this concept of dai lovam and adin lius kenidin. V'dayoy, deraisahi. The concept of dayoy is deraisa. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though as many of us, when we say kabbonis in the morning, say shloish sesu midas shatari in the dresh spam, and one of them is, and most of the midas that are said in that braisa, we don't find explicitly that the Torah uses those drachim, uses those ways of learning. Some of them are. One is the situation of kavachaymer. The Torah itself speaks about a kavachaymer. The Tanya. Midin kavachaymer ketzad. Where do we find that this, that a kavachaymer logic is used in the Torah? Because the pasuk speaks there, where the Torah says, where Miriam spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel that she should not be quarantined. And as Mefarshim explained, obviously his tefillah must have occurred before she became a Mitzaras, because once she's a Mitzaras, she's a Mitzaras, it's too late. And Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't punish her. V'yoyim HaShem HaMoshe, so HaShem says to Moshe, V'via Yorak Yorak B'fanah, if she would have acted disrespectfully to her father, Haloyti Kolim Shor V'shamim, she would have to be quarantined for 7 days. Every Mitzayra is quarantined for 7 days. Kavachayim L'shechina, here where she acted disrespectfully to the Shechina, because the reason Moshe Rabbeinu separated himself from his wife, which was what Miriam said, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. So she should be Abbasim. She should really have to be quarantined for 14 days. Ella, Dai Lovim Minadin Liyis Kenidin. Since we're learning the quarantine concept from a regular situation, and the regular situation is 7 days, the typical situation of Mitzayra is 7 days, so we learn from Mitzayra, here too, it'll only be 7 days, even though it should have really been 14 days. So here we see the concept of Dai Lovim and Adin Liyis Kenidin. If we're learning from a concept, we have to apply the same rules. So here we apply 7 days, and that's what the Gemara is asking. And we're learning the Yerusha of a Ben from the din of Yerusha of a Bas, he shouldn't be able to be stronger than he comes before the Bas. The obvious question, when we learn this Gemara, is the Gemara says, what was the Kavachomer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, made? That really she should have been 14 days. But Dai Lovim and Adin only be 7 days. Where does the number 14 come from? Where does the number 14 come from? So some Mefarshim, in fact, say that the number 14 is not specific. It means in a definite amount of time, somebody who didn't have the Kavod HaShechina. Others say the number 14 comes from the words Yorak Yorak. Yorak Yorak is a double lashon, is 2 times 7. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. What HaKadosh Baruch was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu was that she deserves to have an extra hezger. She deserves an extra term of confinement. The normal term of confinement, we don't find anywhere, as I said earlier, a confinement less than 7 days. So if the typical confinement is 7 days, she deserves a second confinement. So automatically it will be 14 days, because every confinement is a minimum of 7 days. Taisus says a different pshat. Taisus quotes the Gemara Masechet Nida. The Gemara Masechet Nida says, Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam. In the creation of every human being, there are 3 partners. Aviv, V'imai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Father, Mother, and Hashem. The Father, the Gemara says, provides 5 things. The Mother provides 5 things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides 10 things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is double of what the parent is. So if by a parent it's 7, HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's double, it's 14. Especially as the Sefer HaMakna says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives is something that's here forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Neshama. The Neshama lives forever. The other parts, which are the physical attributes, don't remain forever. There's a fascinating piece of history that I saw. The Arzarul quotes this. Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rishon Rabbeinu Gershom, Nebuch had a son who shmat, who converted. And as is the minig, if somebody's child, Rechmon al tzlan lo yaleinu v'lo yaleichem, shmats, they sit shiva. When Rabbeinu Gershom's son Shmat, he sat Shiva 14 days. He sat Shiva 14 days. Why? Based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara says, to a parent, it's 7 days. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's 14 days. Somebody who converts is rebelling against Hashem. He's not rebelling against the parent. But the Maram Rattenberg, another Rishonim, have a very hard time understanding. Because our Gemara says that Hashem says it shouldn't be 14 days, it should only be 7 days. So why did Rabbeinu Gershom sit Shiva for 14 days, not just 7 days? I saw an interesting shot from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes says as follows. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu made a Kavachoyma. That if she would have, there was a Kavachoyma made in our Gemara, that against her father would be 7 days, Kadosh Baruch Hu should be 14 days. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu said that even though the Kavachoyma is a good Kavachoyma, so Kadosh Baruch Hu himself told Moshe Rabbeinu, your logic is good, but I don't want to follow this logic. 7 days is enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to Rabbeinu Gershom. So Rabbeinu Gershom followed the Gemara's logic of 14 days. Says the Gemara. So we're back to where we started. How could the Tanakh, Reb Chaim ben Tzav, learns the lumdus of Dayoi, and that's why he says a son and a daughter, since the entire ability of a son to yashin from his mother, we learn from the din that a daughter yashins from a mother. So that's why he equates them. But how do we explain the Tanakhama's opinion that says that the son who are learning his ability to yashin from a daughter is even stronger than the daughter? He yashins before her. Answers the Gemara, Ba'alma Darish Dayoi. Typically, he would indeed subscribe to the concept of Dayoi. However, Shani Hacha, here it's different. The Amakura Matois. The Torah uses the words Matois. Makish, Mato Aim Lamato Av. The Torah makes a Hekish. Ma Mata Av. When it comes to the Yerusha of the father, Ben Kaidim Labas, the son comes before the daughter. Av Mata Aim. When it comes to Yashin from the mother, Ben Kaidim Labas. And the Rishash explains the Gemara very nicely. He says, we now will combine everything we learned. We learned before Kavachoymer, and now we learned the Hekish. So the Kavachoymer teaches us that the son is a Yairish. And then the Hekish comes on top of the Kavachoymer and says that not only is the son a Yairish, but he actually comes before a daughter. Says the Gemara, Rav Nisoy Sovel Mevet Uvdik Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. Rav Nisoy wanted to act like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav to say that the son and daughter were equal. They Yashin together, a mother's estate. Amle Shmuel, so Shmuel said to him, "Command, according to whom do you want to act this way? Zechariah, F Zechariah. We negate Zechariah's opinion." So I saw the Mefarshim ask this wording, "F Zechariah," as if he's Ephes, he's nothing. What's the Gemara saying? So I saw the Mefarshim say that the Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson in Halacha. It'll come up a lot when we learn Masechta Sanhedrin and Mitzvah Shem. If you have a Bezdin, and Bezdin takes a vote, and we follow the majority. So the halacha teaches us, it's not that we have a majority and a minority, and we follow the majority. The minority is no longer a factor. The halacha is to follow the majority. Here too, Rabbi Zechariah has an opinion. But Rabbi Zechariah's opinion is not the opinion that was followed in halacha. When there's an opinion that's discounted, it's not that it's there, it's ephes. The halacha is the other opinion. Another incident. Rabbi Tevloi, Rav Tevloi acted like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav's psak. Amalei Rav Nachman my high. Why are you doing this? Amalei, the Amar of Chinan of Bishalman, Shmei the Rav. So I heard from Chinan of Bishalman in the name of Rav, the Alocha Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. And that's why I paskened like him. Amalei, so he told him, Zil Ahadabach, go reverse your psak. If you loy, mafkinim aloch. If not, I will throw you out. Posh pshat, the way most Rishonim learn, mefkin alach apatun techerim. Others say, mefkin alach is that I will prove that all of your reasoning for following the opinion of Rav Zechariah is all wrong. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna Bachia, Savol Mevet of the Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. Rav Huna Bachia also wanted a paskin like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. Amalei Rav Nachman Maihai. So Rav Nachman asked him, why? Amalei. So he said, the reason I'm paskening like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav,
Damar Rav Huna Marav. So I heard from Rav Huna, who said in the name of Rav, that Allah krebs chayv and ktsav. Amalei. So Rav Nachman said, you're saying that how do you know that the Allah like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav, because that is what you heard from Rav Huna? Eshlechlei. I'm going to check with Rav Huna if he indeed said that. Ichsef. So Rav Huna Bachia got very offended. He got nervous. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Why did he get nervous? If that's what he heard from Rav Huna, so why is he nervous if Rav Nachman is going to check up on him? So I saw many pshatim. One pshat is, probably the simplest pshat, is that he indeed heard from Rav Huna that the Allah serves Chayyab and Ktsav. But he was nervous, he was concerned, that Rav Nachman now is going to challenge Rav Huna. He said, did you pass him like Rav Chayyab and Ktsav? And he's going to start challenging him, and Rav Huna is going to change his mind. And Rav Huna Bachiyah will be left without anybody to rely on. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Huna Bar Chiya never heard Rav Huna say explicitly that the halacha is like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. Just what? They were sitting in the smerish. They were learning the sugya that we're learning. And the way he understood what Rav Huna was saying was that Rav Huna felt that the halacha is like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. But he never heard explicitly from Rav Huna's mouth the words, I hold like Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav. And now he was getting nervous that maybe when questioned directly, he won't say that Allah is like Rav Zechariah. That's the second pshat I saw. Third pshat is a chiddush, but the Mefarshim discussed this. There are opinions in Halacha. I'm not saying that anybody should do this, but there are opinions in Halacha that say as follows. Let's say somebody comes and asks me a shayla. So I say, kosher, treif, mutarasa. So the person walks in and says, so he said that, you know, so who is he? But I want that person should really accept my decision. So I say, you know who says this? And I say the name of a Gadol B'Yisrael. So there are opinions that say I'm allowed to do that. If I'm so comfortable in my opinion, but I want that it should be accepted, I could say somebody else said it, even though I never heard him say it. So Rav Huna Bachiyah never heard Rav Huna say it. But he was so confident that his psak, to follow the opinion of Zechariah ben Ktzav, was correct, he said, I heard it from Rav Huna, to give it strength. But now Rav Nachman is challenging him. So you know what, I'm going to check up on you. And that's why he got very concerned. Amalei, so Rav Nachman, after seeing how Rav Huna Bachiyah reacted when he said, I'm going to check up on him, said, Hash tekinach nafsh Rav Huna. If Rav Huna had passed away before I would have been able to challenge you, Isris lekabulei, you would have forced people to accept your psak, and you wouldn't have retracted in it. V'yu k'mat savra. Asked him, why did he pass in this way? Kiyar de Rav Shmuel, why was he so strong? Why was Rav Nachman so strong not to follow the opinion of Rav Zechariah ben Ktzav? Because kiyar de Rav Shmuel d'amri tavayu, he heard what he heard from his rabbis that said, en alach krib Zechariah ben Ktzav. So it's interesting that the Mefarshim point out that here he's saying that the Ein Halacha Krib Zechariah ben Ktzav, the Rav is the one that says that Ein Halacha Krib Zechariah ben Ktzav. And a minute ago he quoted Rav as saying Halacha Krib Zechariah ben Ktzav. How do we understand this? So Mefarshim explained, Zechariah ben Ktzav actually said two things. He says that a mother is not a Yorush of a son, but a son is a Yorush of a mother, and he comes before the daughter. And he got confused in the Pesachim of Rav. Fascinating incident, the Gemara quotes. Mestamach v'ozlo Rav Yanai, akasved Rav Simloi. Rav Yanai was already an elderly person. It was hard for him to walk. He was almost blind. And he walked leaning on Rav Simloi, who was his shamai, who was his attendant. V'os Rav Yehuda Nasi Lapayu. And Rav Yehuda Nasi was coming towards them, as the Ben Yoyod explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was not yet appointed to this exalted position of being the Nasi, and that's why Rabbi Yanai, who had weak eyesight, didn't recognize him. And Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Simloi were walking on the road, and Rav Simlai, and Rav Simlai saw Rav Yehuda veering off the path to come towards them. So he understood the why is Rav Yehuda and the Nasi doing this, because obviously he has a question to ask of Rav Yanai. So he wanted to tell Rav Yanai, who is this person that's coming to ask a question? So he said, Amalei, by Inish the Asl Kiblina, the person that's coming to greet us, who ya, is a very great person, the Galosa Yai. Galosa Machlaik is what it means. Some say it means the coat that he wore, the jacket that he wore, others say that the hat that he wore. Rabbanim used to wear special nice jackets or hats. Kimatal Gabei, when he reached them, Goshesha. So Rav Yanai started to feel the clothing of Rav Yehuda Nasi. I saw a member of Pshat and why. One Pshat is he wanted to, so to speak, check him out. Was he or wasn't he? Was he wearing nice clothing because he's a Talmud Chacham? Or was he wearing nice clothing because he was a wealthy person? That's one Pshat I saw. The Gra says an interesting Pshat. The Gra says that not only did Rabbanim wear nice clothing, but the more prestigious of a Rav you were, the more prestigious the clothing you wore. So he wanted to know on what level he was, and therefore he checked out his clothing. Another Pshat I saw, Mr. Yaakov from Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says Pshat like this. He says, the Gemara says that one of the differences between the Talmid Chachamim and Bavel and the Talmid Chachamim and Yisrael was the Talmid Chachamim and Bavel did not wear nice clothing, Talmid Chachamim and Yisrael did. So he wanted to see if he was following the Minhag HaMokom. Amalei, Dain Tzurik Kishak. He says, the clothing you're wearing, it's not special, it's like sackcloth. And as Rishayim explained, the Gemara in many places says that clothing is Makabel Tumah. But depending on the value of the material, that's what depends, that what makes the difference, what the Shear for Kabbalah's Tumah is. That means, typically on a good piece of material, the Shear for Kabbalah's Tumah is 3 etzbahs by 3 etzbahs. By sack, which is very poor quality, it's 4 etzbahs by 4 etzbahs. It says, your clothing is poor quality. Bominei. So now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi asks Rabbi Yanai the following question. How do we know that a son comes before a daughter in yashning the mother's estate? Amlei. Tiksiv. Matos. As we've learned, Makish Mata Eim Lamata Av. The Torah compares these two situations. Ma Mata Av, when it comes to the father's estate, as we have been learning, Ben Kaidim Labas, the son comes before the daughter, Af Mata Eim, Ben Kaidim Labas. So now Rabbi Yehuda asks him another question. E Amalei, if we're saying that we're comparing the Mato Av to the Mato Eim, E Ma Mato Eim, just like when we speak about Mato Av, when we speak about the Yerusha of the father, we know that Halach is the Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. A Bechor gets a double portion. It's a nice remazim how we know a Bechor gets a double portion. One is the word Bechor really spelled without a Vav. It's Beis Chaf Resh. Chaf, Beis is 2, Chaf is 20, and Resh is 200. You keep on adding. So you see the Bechor gets double. Another pshat is that the word Bechor is the same letters as the word Berech, the foot. The main child, the main extension of the father, is the Bechor, and that's why he deserves a double shear. So Ma Mata Av, so now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is asking Rav Yanai, Im Ma Mata Av, Bechor Noitel Pishnayim, just like when it comes to the estate of the father, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion, should we say, Af Mata Aim, Bechor Noitel Pishnayim, the Bechor should get a double portion? Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai heard him say this. Rabbi Yanai said l'shamay to his attendant, to Rabbi Simlai, good, let's go away. Let's stay in Tzvila Meilef. He doesn't want to learn. So Mepharshim are very troubled. What did he do wrong? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, what bothered Rabbi Yanai was that Rabbi Yanai gave him an answer. And now he's right away asking questions. Why are you asking questions right away? First absorb what I taught you. First absorb what I taught you. After you absorb what I taught you, then ask. Don't jump to ask. It's one pshat. Another pshat is, Rav Yanai recognized that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a great person. So he was upset at Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Why are you asking? You could figure out the answer yourself. And if you could figure out the answer yourself, you have an obligation to be meyageya b'tayra, to harav it, to learn, to try to come up with the answer. Don't just rely on me giving you the answer. The Chavetz Chaim asks, how could Rabbi Yanai say to Rabbi Simloy Yishamis that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi less than tzvila mele doesn't want to learn, isn't it lashon hara? So according to the explanation that we just gave, the second explanation, that actually Rabbi Yanai was giving him a compliment, that you could figure out the answer yourself, you don't need me, it wasn't lashon hara. Another pshat, the Chavetz Chaim quotes the Chavetz Yoyer that says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was really a Talmud of Rabbi Yanai. And a Rebbe is allowed to give a Talmud Musar, even though it means saying something sharp. And that's why Rabbi Yanai had the right to say to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, you don't want to learn, you don't want to try to figure out the answer yourself. But Tamamai, what indeed is the reason that a son is not entitled to a double portion in the Yerusha from his mother? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, B'chol Hashimatziloi. When the Torah speaks about B'chol getting a double portion, the Torah says B'chol Hashimatziloi, Loi V'loi Lo. Only by a father, not with a mother. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, perhaps when was this pasuk said, Hani Mili B'chol Shnos Almona, B'chol Shnos Almona. That if a single man marries an almana, so there, and they have a child, so this woman had children before. So the child that's born first is only bechor to his father, but not to his mother. Perhaps, in a situation of bochor shenos psula, when they were both single, and then they have a child, so that child is a bechor to both of them, maybe the halacha is, I have a bachash nos basula, perhaps the halach is hachinami de shakal, that such a bachar gets a double portion. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Kra, reishis oinoi, oinoi v'loi oino. We only look at him, that he's the first seed of the father, not of the mother. Ask the Mefarshim, that the Torah uses the word oino, Yaakov Avinu uses the words oini by Ruvein. When Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Reuven, he says, Reishis Koichi V'Reishis Oini. And Rashi says, why was Reishis Oini? That was the first time that Yaakov ever emitted Zera. So maybe that's what it means. And only such a person will be a Bechor. The first answer, the Pasuk by Reuven doesn't only use the word Oini. It also says, Reishis Koichi V'Reishis Oini. But Oini means the child alone. Oini V'Loi Oina. Ask the Gemara, Hahume Baile, that pasuk we need for a different limud. Lavoi ach nefalim. The Lahava b'chol nachla. We know, Rachmana litzlan, if somebody has a miscarriage, if a woman has a miscarriage, and then she has another child, that child, Baruch Hashem, is fine, will not be considered b'chol as far as Hilchus Pinyan Ben is concerned. He wasn't the first that came out of the womb. Says the Gemara, as far as Hilchus Pinyan HaBen are concerned, a child who is born after a stillborn will not be a Bechor. However, as far as Hilchus Yerusha is concerned, such a child will be a Bechor. Misha liba dava alav, yotzezah she'en liba dava alav. That means only somebody who has that special quality of being Bechor, that he's really the firstborn. And he is the firstborn. So we need the pasuk to teach us that the firstborn viable child is considered a Bechor as far as Hilchus Yerusha is concerned. So how can we say that this pasuk is coming to teach us that the din of Bechor of Yerusha is only by the father, not the mother? Answers the Gemara, Imkein Leim Mekra Kirei Reishis Oin. If that's all the pasuk was coming to teach us, that the first viable child is considered a Bechor as far as Hilchus Yerusha is concerned, the Torah should have used the word Kiureshis Oin. My Oinoi. Why does the Torah use the words Oinoi? Shema Minatati. To teach us two dinim. One din is that the first viable child that's born is considered the Bechor, even though that the mother might have had a child before that. And the second din is that Bechorah, the double portion that a Bechor gets, is only from the father's estate, not the mother's estate. This halacha, that a child who's born after a stillborn is considered a Bechor as far as Hilchos Yerusha is concerned, is the subject of a machloikis. When will that be? Because we need to really be able to identify who is considered a nephil. Certainly, if the child was born not living, not breathing, that would certainly be considered a nephil. However, the Rashbam says that if somebody is born in those times, somebody was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, is considered a nephil. Nowadays, it's not that way. Who is a nephil? There's really a big machloikis apaiskim. Some say as long as the child, even if the child came out breathing, but he didn't survive in childbirth, he's not considered a Bechor. Some say even if he came out breathing, as long as he stopped breathing immediately, he's considered a nephil. Others want to make a difference that if he was malformed, the Taz wants to make that nafkamina, when he was born and he didn't survive, then he's considered a nephil. Vakati, Eimahani Mili, when did the Torah say that this Bechor doesn't get a double shear in his mother's estate? In a situation of Almach Nasabsula, where the father previously had children, the mother didn't. Ava Bechor Shenasabsula, if a single man married a single woman and they had a child, perhaps Hochanami de Shokel, such a child will get a double shear, not only in his father's estate, but even in his mother's estate. And the Rashbam says a very interesting svara. Why? The Rashbam says, Migui, since he gets a double shear in his father's estate, that's why he should get a double shear in his mother's estate. So the Divrei Malkiel, other Achroinim, don't understand what the Rashbam's saying. What does the Rashbam mean, Migui? Because he gets a double share in his father's estate, that's why he's entitled to a double share in his mother's estate. What's the connection between the father's estate and the mother's estate? So the Divrei Malkiel says, interesting pshat. He says, the Gemara here, according to the Rashbam's understanding, does not mean to say that this child should automatically, just because he's entitled to a double share of his father's estate, he should be entitled to a double share of his mother's estate. The Rashbam says we're referring to a situation. The Rashbam is referring to a situation where the father and mother died at the same time. They were in a building and the building collapsed on both of them at the same time. So since he's yarshning both of them at the same time and he's getting a double shear in the father's Yerusha, therefore he should also get a double shear in the mother's Yerusha. How do we know that that is not the din? El Amarava, Amakra, Loi, Mishpat HaBechayra. Mishpat HaBechayra L'ish, V'loi Mishpat HaBechayra L'isha. Only by a man, not by a woman. Machlokes Rishonim, now that the Gemara quoted this pasuk of Loi Mishpat HaBechayra, does the Gemara mean that we only need this pasuk? This pasuk on itself is the reasoning why a Bechor doesn't get a double portion in his mother's estate? Or are we still going to need the other pasukim that we learned to come to understand this halacha? We learned in the Mishnah, the Ishus Ishtay. A husband is the Yairish of his wife. And it's very important in framing this Gemara and framing the Sugya that even though we know the halacha is, and we're going to learn the source for this halacha in a moment, that a husband is the Yairish of his wife, is the successor of his wife, it doesn't mean that the husband, it's a different lumdus, it's a different concept of Yerusha than all the other cases that we've learned till now. Till now, we've been discussing, our whole parak, we'll continue discussing it, that when a Yairish inherits, he inherits because of kurva. He inherits because of a family relationship. A husband that yashins from a wife, is because of a whole different concept. The concept of a husband yashining from a wife is because there's a certain relationship that exists between a husband and a wife, and that relationship causes that the husband should be the wife's Yairish. I'll tell you where the Paiskim apply this concept, a very interesting question. We discussed it, we will discuss it again, I'm sure, in our sugyas, as we speak about Hilchos Yerusha. We've discussed the situation that if somebody dies, there's not always only material assets to inherit. There's positions, rabbanus, etc. to Yarshin. So, as we also learned in the previous sugya, a daughter is a Yarish. So the question that comes up is if a daughter, let's say somebody passes away, he didn't have any sons, he only had daughters. Or make it even easier, he only had one daughter. So does the daughter, now she can't have the position her father had. If her father was a Rav, the daughter can't be a Rav. Does her husband get that position? The question is, how do we look at the relationship as far as Hilchas Yerusha is concerned between a husband and a wife? The Mefarshim also use this teretz to answer another very fundamental question. We're going to begin learning now the sugyas. How we know a husband yarshins a wife. So why doesn't the Gemara give a very simple proof? We spoke about earlier in our shir that a girl who's going to be the yarish of a parent when we were in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah tells us, has to marry somebody from the same shevet. Why are we concerned that she should marry somebody from the same shevet? Because if she passes away, we don't want that nachla to go to a different shevet. But if her husband isn't her yarish, so what's to worry? So the simple teretz is that if her husband is not from the same shevet, her son won't be from the same shevet. So even if her husband doesn't yarshin her, who's going to yarshin her? Her son. So we're going to have the same issue. Another teretz, because they were speaking about Hilchos Yerusha. A husband to a wife is not a Yerusha situation, as I'm explaining. And therefore, the Gemara can't use that as a proof. So ask the Ramanan immediately, from where do we know this then? Most Rishonim, and this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, explain that the Gemara's question is, that how do we know Midoraisa, the husband is the Yerusha of the wife? There are, however, opinions in the Rishonim that say this halacha that we're now discussing, that a husband is the Yerush of his wife, is only Midrabbanan, not Midraisa. So again, Minani Mili, how do we know that the husband is the Yerush of the wife? The Tana Rabbanan She'eroi Zu Ishtai. Melamed She'ibal Yerush is Ishtai. The Torah says that the She'eroi is the Yerush. Who is the She'eroi? The husband. Yochol Afhi Terushana. So we say if they have this relationship, perhaps if the husband dies, the wife should be his Yerush. Tamaloima V'Yerush Aysar. Who Yerush Aysar? Vehein he Yereshes Aysar. He is her Yerush, but not vice versa. Ask the Gemara V'Hakroi Lav HaKsivi. That's not what the Pasuk says. Abaya says Abaya Tritz Hachi. This is the way to understand the Pasuk. Nesatim Es Nachosoi L'Karev Elof. You should give the Yerusha to the closest relative. Who is that? She'eroi, the husband. V'Yerush Aysar. Amar Rava. So Rava challenges Abaya. Sakina Harifa Mifsiki Kroy. You took a pasuk and you chopped it up with a knife. You have no right to do that to the pasuk. El Amar Rava Hachikamer. Nesatim es nachlosay es nachlosheroi. And what the pasuk should be done is Ksover Goyer Umesifim V'Darshim. We take the words and we rearrange them. We take the letters. A little sharper. We take the letters and we rearrange them to say v'nesatim es nachla she'eroi, that we should give his she'eroi's Yerusha, his wife's Yerusha to him. So the obvious question is what was bothering Rava? What's bothering Rava is you can't rearrange a pasuk. Isn't he doing the same? So I saw a number of truths. The simplest teretz is the Rava is not changing the words of the pasuk. He's saying this is the way to understand the words of the pasuk. If we want to define the pasuk in Aramic, in our vernacular, this is the way to understand the pasuk. But he doesn't really manipulate anything. The other teretz is there's a very big difference if you manipulate words or manipulate letters. And that's why what Rav is only doing is manipulating letters that he doesn't find unacceptable, whereas Abaye is manipulating words which he finds unacceptable. Why? Is the obvious question, certainly according to Abaye, but even according to Rav, ask the Yad Ramah, why doesn't the pasuk just say what it means? So the answer, because the Torah, as much as we could try to say this, really wants to accomplish two goals with this pasuk. One goal is to teach us the din that the husband is the yerush of the wife, and the other din is the din of akarif, that the closer. So the Torah had to try to figure out a way of saying both of these concepts, and this is the best that this is the best way the Torah could articulate it. But it does require some manipulation of the words or letters to get to the lesson.